Do you want to listen to Adventist World Radio SID Media but struggle with data? Don't worry. Get yourself the Hope Channel Africa decoder and switch to the Radio Bouquet to listen to your favorite Christian radio station. Contact us on +27 73 470 3520 or visit www.sidmedia.org to place your order.
All right. So this morning, what are we looking at? The mystery that has been revealed. In the last lesson, we discussed how ceremonies and services, sacrifices performed in the temple pointed to God's plan of salvation for fallen humanity. And that was the last lesson that we had together last week. So this morning, we are going to be looking at this mystery that has been revealed. So once a year, on the Day of Atonement, the priest offered a sacrifice for the people's sins, and this typified God's complete and full cleansing of his people from sin. How could God justly offer the sinner complete cleansing from their sins? Exodus chapter 26, verse 33 to 34 says, "And you shall hang the veil from the clasps and bring the ark of the testimony in there within the veil. And the veil shall separate for you the holy place from the most holy. You shall put the mercy seat on the ark of the testimony in the most holy place." And then you look at Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 4 and 5, which says, "And he wrote on the tablets in the same writing as before the Ten Commandments that the Lord has spoken to you on the mountain out of the midst of the fire on the day of the assembly. And the Lord gave them to me. Then I turned and came down from the mountain and put the tablets in the ark that I had made. And there they are, as the Lord commanded me." So behind the veil, in the most holy place of the sanctuary, was the ark of the covenant. Inside the ark were the Ten Commandments, symbolizing God's perfect justice in dealing with sin. But the mercy seat, where God's presence dwells, was on top of the ark, and this showed his desire to extend mercy and forgiveness to us, though we are undeserving of it. Now that's powerful. So we've got, imagine this in your mind. So at the base you have, of this holy place, you have this table, right? Of shewbread, meaning that you've got this bread, right? This is called shewbread. You need to understand why I'm not yet at that level. Okay, and then on the same table, so you've got the shewbread on one section, yeah? And then, let's say just behind the shewbread, you've got the candlesticks, okay? 7 of them, all right? And then we say, all right, just right there in the middle of this table, you've got the altar of incense. You've got the altar of incense. And then towards the further right, in the middle, you have at the very base, the Ark of the Covenant, which is in the most holy place. All right. Now, this Ark of the Covenant was God's commitment to sinful humankind. No matter how fallen and depraved we may have become, we are not out of reach of a loving God. He longs to bring us close to his presence. When Jesus died, what supernatural event took place in the temple? Do you know? Well, let's go through it. According to Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 and 21, it reads, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then, behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split." Did you hear that supernatural event that happened? I did. The veil in the temple was torn in two. What is Jesus doing in heaven now to deal with our problem of sin? The main point of what we are saying is this: we do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by a mere human being. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us firmly hold to the faith we profess, for we do not have an high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Now, before the establishment of the temple on earth, God already had a temple in heaven. In fact, the temple on earth was merely a pattern or copy of the one that has always existed in heaven. And through his death, Jesus qualified himself to bear our sins and become our high priest, to extend grace and mercy to all humankind. When we turn to him and ask him for forgiveness and cleansing from our sins, we can be sure, 100% sure, that we do receive it. Right? We absolutely do receive it. There's cleansing and there's intercession that takes place in the temple. Now, the Bible predicts that Jesus will come again, but before he does, he will cleanse the heavenly temple or sanctuary once and for all, a sign that God's judgment, this time for the entire world, has begun. And without a temple on earth, how can we have as close a relationship with God? Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought for a price? Therefore, glorify God in your body. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Through the cross, Jesus made it possible not only to live with us, but live in us. Jesus intercedes for us in heaven. But even more than this, he has given the Holy Spirit to dwell in us and cleanse us from all our sinful desires. We just need to invite him in. The promise that God has given us that we can overcome sin no matter how difficult it seems is found in Jude chapter 1, verse 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Yeah. So not only is Jesus able to forgive and cleanse us from our sins, but he can also keep us from falling again. We need to hear that. We need to hear that, because if we allow him, God will do a powerful work of transforming our lives. And of course, listen, we do make mistakes, right? But when we confess them to God in prayer, he promises to forgive and cleanse us. And we can change. We can be changed by him. 1 John 1 verse 9 reminds us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we need, remember, we have a loving Savior. He has experienced all life's temptations, like we are. But he came out victorious. He didn't sin. Yes, we have sinned, but we can still come out victorious and become new creatures in him. And I hope that you, like me, desire, you know, that God lives inside of you. You know, that he cleanses us from our sins and from the guilt and the shame that we carry because of those sinful desires. We need that, because the truth is, I don't know about you, but the truth for me definitely is sin is exhausting. Sin is very, 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 very exhausting. It is draining. It's mentally draining. It's emotionally exhausting. It's tiring. And it's spiritually just, it's draining. It's really draining. So it is beautiful to know. It's encouraging to know that there is a way out. And it's also lovely that there are people who we can look at and we are like, wow. You know, it's important to have someone to look up to who you like, wow. Wow. Whether you knew them before they became the person that you see now, or you just meet them and you're just like, wow. this person is like best friends with God and their lifestyle shows that they are best friends with God. That's very encouraging. Angina mona shame. I look at those people and I'm like, yo, it's possible. It's possible. I love it, especially when you see it in, I love seeing it in mature Christians. I also love seeing it in young people. Young people who have really, like, you've got a conversion experience, you know. Of course, life is not perfect. Of course, people might trip and fall again. You might know someone to be, and you've put them in our minds, we do that, on this particular pedestal, and whatever happens, and you see things change maybe 20 years later, and you're like, hey, bro, what happened? It happens, you know. But for what it's worth, I still appreciate seeing people who, in my own observation, yes, I might be wrong. I wouldn't think that it's they faking it. No, I don't think there's hypocrisy. And is it a good thing that I don't know that person's mistakes, or yeah, every time they fall, what is it that made them fall? It's a good thing for me personally as Millicent not to know. And I would rather not know, you know, me, you know, I'd rather not know. It's okay not to know those things. Yeah, it's okay for me not to know those things. I'm okay with that, more than okay with that. Because it's nice having human beings to look at, kind of like Paul, and desire Horio. I would love to be like Ubanbani. Yes, Jesus is the standard. I get that. You know, he's the author and finisher of our salvation. I'm not confused about that. But I'm saying that it's encouraging, and it makes it look like it's possible when you meet people who love according to what you see and know. And it's okay for you not to know the dirty laundry. It's okay not to know the dirty laundry. That part, I personally, I appreciate that. I don't know about you. Yeah, no, we need rest from sin and for good sin.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.